Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, Texts 15 and 16. Nando Mahamanastebhyo Vaso Lankara Godanam Sutta Magda Magada Vandibhyo Yenye Vidyo Pajivina. Nanda Maharaj Nanda Mahamanaha, who among the coward men was the greatest of all upright persons. Tevyaha, unto the coward men. Vasa, vasa, clothing. Alankara, ornaments. Godanam, and cows. Sutamagada, Vandibhya, unto the suttas, professional reciters of the old histories. The Magadas, professional reciters of the histories of royal dynasties, and the Vandis, general singers of prayers. Ye Anye, as well as others. Vidya Upajivinaha, who was continuing their livelihood on the basis of educational qualifications. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great-minded Maharaj Nanda gave clothing, ornaments, and cows in charity to the coward men in order to please Lord Vishnu, and thus he improved the condition of his own son in all respects. He distributed charity to the Suttas, the Magadas, and the Vandis, and men of all other professions, according to their educational qualifications, and satisfied everyone's desires. Purport. Although it has become fashionable to speak of Daridra Narayana, the words Vishnur Arad Dhanartaya do not mean that all the people satisfied by Nanda Maharaj in this great ceremony were Vishnus. They were not Daridra, nor were they Narayana. Rather, they were devotees of Narayana, and by their devotional qualifications, they would satisfy Lord Narayana. Therefore, satisfying them was an indirect way of satisfying Lord Vishnu. Mad Bhakta Puja Dika, the Bhagavatam 11:19:21. The Lord says, worshipping my devotees is better than worshipping me directly. The Vanashram system is entirely meant for Vishnu Aradhana, worship of Lord Vishnu. Vanashrama Acharvata Purushena Pura Puman Vishnu Aradyate Vishnu Purana 3:8:9. The ultimate goal of life is to please Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. The uncivilized man or materialistic person, however, does not know this aim of life. Tate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. Bhagavatam 7:5:31. The real interest lies in satisfying Lord Vishnu. Not satisfying Lord Vishnu, but instead attempting to become happy through material adjustments by her artha manina is the wrong way for happiness. Because Vishnu is the root of everything, if Vishnu is pleased, everyone is pleased. In particular, one's children and family members become happy in all respects. Nanda Maharaj wanted to see his newborn child happy. That was his purpose. Therefore, he wanted to satisfy Lord Vishnu. And to satisfy Lord Vishnu, it was necessary to satisfy his devotees, such as the learned Brahmanas, Magadas, and Suttas. Thus, in a roundabout way, ultimately it was Lord Vishnu who was to be satisfied. Translation again, the great-minded Narada Maharaj gave clothing, ornaments, and cows in charity to the coward men who had to please Lord Vishnu. And thus he improved the condition of his own son in all respects. He distributed charity to the Sutas, the Magadhas, the Vandis, and the men of all other professions, according to their educational qualifications, and satisfied everyone's desires. In this regard, it is said, Yata tura mula nishechinena tripyanti tatskanda bujo prashaka pranaharaschayatendriyanam tatayava savaharnam atiteja. Just like we water the root of the tree, the water goes to all the leaves and the branches. Or by supplying food to the stomach, then actually the food goes to the different parts of the body. Simply by pleasing Lord Vishnu, then all the demigods are served along with all living entities, or pleased. Because the point is that we're all spiritual beings with spiritual bodies and spiritual senses, and our senses and our bodies are made out of Satchitananda, bliss, knowledge, and eternity. Now, in contact with Krishna, when we experience Krishna, then Krishna is the reservoir of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. So if you're thirsty, it's very easy. It's simple to satisfy one's sense of thirst if one dives into a reservoir of water. So one dives into the reservoir of experience of Krishna, then all one's desires for happiness and pleasure and love and affection, they're all automatically satisfied. But one has to become qualified to get Krishna's mercy. Krishna doesn't make it extremely difficult to get his mercy. It's done through devotional service. Bhakti amam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvata tito amam tatvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. That one can understand me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead only through the process of bhakti. And when one is fully engaged in such a process as bhakti, he can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. In other words, if we're actually of the mentality to try to please Krishna, then Krishna reveals himself. Now, to try to please Krishna doesn't happen automatically because we don't know Krishna that well. You can't say you're in love with someone, you don't even know them. If I had a girlfriend but I never talked to her, it wouldn't be a very intimate relationship. Similarly, since we can't talk to Krishna, we're disqualified from having that kind of relationship with him. Of course, we can talk to him and he will answer, but that his answer, the fact that he's answering, may require some faith. We can talk to him if we have that much faith that he's really listening. And we think, well, you know, who knows? Anyhow, I'll try it anyhow. That's also good. At least we have some idea that there's a person called Krishna, and we can ask him something, we can tell him something. Of course, he knows everything already, but he wants a relationship too. He wants to find out what we want. Therefore, if we ask him something, or we tell him something, or we pray to him, because the whole Bhagavatam is just prayers. Matter of fact, our whole life is full of prayers, whether we know it or not. We're constantly praying 24 hours a day. The only thing is we don't know what to pray for, and we don't know who we're praying to. But desire is a form of prayer. And Krishna understands our desire, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. And therefore, Krishna understands what we want. And by his arrangement, he orders the material nature, according to what we deserve, to manifest itself in a certain way. So the culmination of all our karma since time immemorial has been presently manifested in this present body. And the body gives us so many opportunities to desire, according to the body. The body has so many needs. The mind has so many desires. Or we can try to manifest a relation with Krishna. And the more we have faith that Krishna is there and that the goal is to perform, to revive our relation with Krishna, then we can actually at least have the mentality, I would like to do something to please Krishna. Find out, first of all, what he wants us to do. And we can't figure out what he wants us to do clearly unless we accept what his mission is. Krishna didn't come here on vacation. It's not that, you know, he's been herding cows since time immemorial. He needed a break, so he came to Vrindavan. Spent a few years as a baby, so mother just thought it would take care of him. He wouldn't have to go out herd the cows all day long. Similarly, Krishna's devotees who came with him didn't come because they were part of the vacation. They all wanted to take a vacation together. The material world was not Krishna's vacation. It's the same as his spiritual world for him. Everything he does is blissful. Everything he does is pleasurable. Everything he does is advancing his relation with his devotees. But his primary mission in the material world is to wake up the sleeping souls, which we might include ourselves. So he comes here to wake up the conditioned souls, and he's doing that. He doesn't come just to display his pastimes to do that. He remains in the heart of every living entity, his Paramatma, sensing their desires and waiting for the soul to do something positive, to desire, let me use this body in some way to please Krishna, according to his representatives. To have it completely clear in our minds exactly what Krishna wants us to do, what Krishna wants us to say, and how Krishna wants us to think and feel. Now, grossly, if we don't follow Krishna, it's very unlikely we're going to say the right things either. And if we don't say the right things, then it's very unlikely we're going to follow Krishna. And if we feel, but if we actually feel the right things, if we have the proper mood, due to the fact that we're following and we say the right things, and we understand what the proper mood of devotion is, then Krishna will give us intelligence. By which we can make not only first of all, intelligence to understand what the right mood is and what the right thing to do is, the right thing to say is, if we're trying to do that, if we're trying to be in line with Krishna, Krishna will help us and give us the intelligence, what he wants. And then ultimately, tesham eva nukam paratam ahama jnana jam damaha. If we develop the mood of a devotee, and we develop the mood of a devotee by becoming aware of the mood of devotees, of the other devotees. The mood of a devotee is developed in relationship to other devotees. Other superior devotees especially, we take their mood and therefore we manifest it in our relationship with all the other devotees. And that way, Krishna, tesham eva nukam paratam, then Krishna sees if we have the mood of a devotee, then he becomes compassionate upon us. Because what's the mood of a devotee? Trinada pisa nichena tariva sahishnuna amadana madhidinena kirtiniya sadhari. That every living entity in the material world is all proud of their body, of their accomplishments, of their so many things. They're proud. And therefore, that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A devotee is proud of Krishna and he's humble because he knows he's simply an insignificant, he's one of the many servants of Krishna. And he knows how wonderful Krishna is and he understands in relationship, in comparison to himself, he's insignificant. And he sees how wonderful the devotees are also because he takes so much pleasure in their relationship with Krishna. In fact, a devotee, sometimes he takes more pleasure in the other devotee's relationship with Krishna than he does in his own service to Krishna. Therefore, he feels himself to be the servant of the servant of Krishna. And then when Krishna sees that, then he becomes compassionate because Krishna is also humble. And he feels, I'm learning from this devotee, I should give him some mercy in reciprocation. But if one is Baya dvitiya binashitasya ashadapatasya vipariyo smriti. If one thinks himself to be a competitor of Krishna, competing to own, to possess and enjoy some part of this material world, doesn't have to be a big part, just has to be a little part. You don't have to try to control the universe, you just have to, if you're an ant, you just have to control a little grain of sugar, and you're in competition with Krishna, because it's not offered to him. There's no relation with Krishna. So if we utilize whatever energies we have and we dovetail them in Krishna's service and we try to develop the mood of doing it, ultimately to spread Krishna consciousness to others and to ourselves also. To give Krishna, to do it in Krishna consciousness with the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in mind. What he desires through his representatives. Then we come in contact with the source of all compassion, who's come here out of simply a dharya, out of compassion to give others Krishna consciousness. And by coming in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, then one is automatically, spontaneously elevated to the spiritual platform of the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Because out of the intense happiness Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is feeling in the exchange of Radha and Krishna and their devotees, that's out of that, looks around, he sees these living entities, that's what they should be enjoying, but they're suffering because they're devoid of that. There's nothing else that will make them happy, so let me give them Krishna consciousness. So we develop that same mood as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we try to dovetail our services to him, with him, then he gives us his mercy. Just like if we put ourselves in a position where we have to rely upon Krishna to get his mercy in the midst of trying to spread Krishna consciousness, then Krishna becomes very disposed to give us his mercy. It's like book distribution. If you go on book distribution, generally speaking, most of us, when we go on book distribution, we don't believe that, you know, we don't see Krishna in everyone's heart necessarily. We may have different feelings about the people who are passing by when they say no, or get lost, get a job. The worst thing is when you go out and you distribute books and they ignore you as if you didn't exist. That's the most humbling part of it. I remember one time I was in the airport in Los Angeles, it was during the Prabhupada Marathon, and they assigned me the international terminal where there are only Asians were coming through. And they have a talent, especially in power, to ignore you. Not only one of them, but thousands of them. You actually start wondering if you exist after some time. So, but if one keeps on praying to Krishna, then eventually Krishna sends someone or gives the intelligence what to do. And then we can actually see that being put in a position of service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and having to rely upon Krishna and praying to him, developing a desire, and then Krishna reciprocates. And if you go out and sell a magazine on the street, any magazine, you won't be in bliss. But if you sell a book of Krishna's, then you're in bliss. Is that right?
Sometimes when they want to ignore me, they just don't.
Well, that's good. They don't completely ignore you. At least you know that. But if you sell a book, do you ever feel some enlivenment when you sell books? Yeah, so then it's similarly, if we do anything for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his movement, then Krishna will reciprocate. If we're focused in, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants me to do, to help serve this movement, to help deliver Krishna to others, their relation with Krishna. There's nothing else in this material world that's really the purpose of the existence other than just awaken our relation with Krishna. Everything else is just a distraction. Of course, many things can be dovetailed in that relation with Krishna, but it has to be some kind of intelligent understanding of why I'm doing it and how it's actually, practically, helping to awaken others' Krishna consciousness, including my own. Then we'll understand these pastimes of the in Vrindavan Nanda Maharaj, because he has the same mentality. He simply wants, he has deities of Lord Narayan in his house. Krishna grows up and he worships Lord Narayan himself. And when Mother Jasoda takes him out to the, because Mother Jasoda is very attached to Krishna, when Krishna is going to herd the cows and go out to play with the cow boys, Mother Jasoda just won't let him go. So finally she says that if you see some creature in the jungle, pray to Lord Narayan. He'll protect you. So everyone's kind of like, Krishna's kind of like trying to stifle his laughing. But they're serious. They actually think Lord Narayan, they worship him because they think he's going to protect Krishna. They don't know who Krishna is exactly. They're so much in love with him, but they want him protected. So therefore they're always praying to Lord Narayan to protect Krishna. If you go there, you can see Lord Narayan's Nanda Maharaj's deity of Lord Narayan. Maybe you could even worship him a little. Offer him some food, get some prasad from Lord Narayan's from Nanda Maharaj's deity. So in the same way, we have to take shelter of Krishna the same way that Nanda Maharaj is taking shelter of Lord Narayan, and try to live in Vrindavan in the same way of worship Krishna. Of course, they're praying to Lord Narayan, but actually their real love is for Krishna. So we can pray to Lord Narayan to protect us like Lord Nrisimhadev, but our real love should be for Krishna. We don't even, when we need protection, we pray to Lord Narayan, and out of love, we think about Krishna and his pastimes. And if we want some protection, then we can remember Krishna's pastimes killing the demons. But it's actually, Krishna is not killing the demons. It's his expansions of Lord Narayan who kill the demons. Krishna, his only business is love. And in the spiritual world, there are no demons. But there are rumors of demons, which keeps everyone in line. Because they hear about there's some demon coming to attack Krishna. They go pray to Lord Narayan and they all surround Krishna to protect him. But the demons never appear. And even when they do appear, they're actually devotees. Like Kali is actually a devotee in the spiritual world. So when Krishna subdues Kaliya, then Kaliya, Krishna takes the gopis and he performs a rasa dance on the hoods of Kaliya. And takes the Nagnapati's dresses and he threads them through the noses of Kaliya and rides Kaliya around the Jamuna with the gopis on with him. So Kaliya is a devotee. And similarly, when Keshi appears, Krishna takes hold of him and rides him around Vrindavan also. So actually there are no real demons, there are only devotees who play pastimes with Krishna. Therefore, what to speak of if Agasura appeared, or Trinivarta, or Bakasura, or Putana. I mean, those we could take as demons. But at least we shouldn't see the devotees as demons. That's not a good idea. We shouldn't pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to kill the devotees. That won't get us very far in devotional service. Instead, we should try to appreciate the devotees. And if we can't, then better off not to intimately associate with them and commit offenses, because that won't be a good idea either. In any case, here we find how nice the pastimes of Krishna are. El Nanda Maharaj is giving charity. All this charity, though, is in relation with Krishna, so it's all spiritual. And those who are receiving it, they're getting spiritual benefit by receiving the charity. So this is the Dadati principle, giving gifts and charity to devotees, accepting charitable gifts. the Magas, the Magadas, the Sutis, they all gave their gift of glorifying Krishna, and now Nanda Maharaj is reciprocating by giving in charity to them. But it's all spiritual. It's all in relation with Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
You mentioned these Asians. How can you stop them and even distribute some books to them?
You can put out your foot. Then after you pick them up, you can ask for a donation. May not be a very standard way of distributing books. I don't know, it's very difficult. What I used to do is wait for the last person to go by. Because everyone follows the leader. So if one person ignores you, everyone else ignores you. But if you get the last person who's like a straggler and didn't see that everyone else ignored you, then you could probably, then sometimes he'd stop. Because he didn't know he wasn't supposed to stop. Or if you learn, you know, if you become detached enough and ask, if you learn the language, you know, a little bit of the language. What is it? Let's see, Japanese. Dai tai hitaviti wa skoshi kipu anagashima. Hitaviti wa. Konnichiwa. Onjindaishi, you learn a little language, then they may stop. It's like with the Arabs in the airport. They used to be my main customers because I speak some Arabic to them. And then, what is this, the Arab lines? Assalamu alaikum, kifala, alhamdulillah. And they look at me and they say, you don't look that Arab. And I say, well, no one's perfect. They like that one. Then you learn all the slang for the donations. Like in Arabic, the slang for money is flus. Usually only the Arabs know that. So they say, yes, or some flus. And they think, well, he must be at least half Arab. Is that it? Any other questions?
Hare Krishna. Is it okay to be competitive and comparative with other devotees? Comparative with other devotees. And
if this,
now we're not too much competitive.
Well, you can be competitive. Prabhupada even encourages it sometimes. Competitive to serve Krishna, though, to please him. To think that this devotee is pleasing Krishna so much that I should try to please Krishna more than he does. But not be envious of the devotee. You know, not the devotee is distributing a book. You go, no, no, don't take it. If you take the book, he's going to... He's going to be up on me. No, no, no. It's cold. To be happy when the books are being distributed, but to think, well, he's doing so nicely, I should try to do so nice. He's even nicer.
Can you be too much competitive?
Yeah, you can become too much competitive.
How long when you are too much?
You're not happy. You're in anxiety. You're envious. Why he's distributing books? What did he do? You know, why are you taking a book from him? The worst thing is when you try and just give someone a book and they just ignore you, and some other devotee pops up and they stop and they take a book from him. You go, what? So be happy that everyone's feeding Krishna, everyone's feeding the root, and everyone gets the benefit. The more the Sankirtan movement. The more Krishna is pleased, the more the Sankirtan movement spreads, everyone is benefited. Anything else? Hvala, Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.